This is the Horseshoe FAQ Podcast. We're giving you the latest with the Colts. Here's your hosts, Caroline Cann and Matt Taylor.
I'm Caroline Cann. He's Matt Taylor. We've got all your headlines from this week that really it just meant that the rookies and the vets, they're back together. This is actually the first time that they are together on the field. It seems like this has been a long time coming. It's almost like you go through the draft while the team is already on the field going through some offseason workouts. But really, this week is the first chance that you saw the entire 90-man roster on the field together.
Yeah, everybody's together working out, and it's fun because this week wraps up phase two, and then next week begins phase three, or in other words, OTAs, organized team activities. And that's when it's kind of the meat of the offseason workout program. Caroline, you got the 7-on-7, the offense versus the defense. You got the receivers going up against the defensive backs, the safeties. You got 11-on-11 drills. Yeah. It's not real football, but it's the closest thing to real football this time of year, and that's eventually going to graduate into the mini camp, which will go down in a few weeks in mid-June. So this is kind of the heart of the program, and I'm really excited for it.
Yeah, we'll talk about this in just a little bit, but this has all been fundamental so far. It's, you know, cone drills. It's making sure the feet are right. But what you'll see in OTAs more resembles that real football, like you mentioned, the 7-on-7, 9-on-7, 11-on-11. Really, Matt, this is the first time that you and I have been able to sit down and talk big picture from rookie minicamp. It's a very quick 3 days, but we get to see more football than we normally do on a week just because they do open up the practices to watch. If you can just take one thing away, maybe as your overall view from rookie minicamp, what would that have been?
That Quentin Nelson is the real deal. He's a massive human being. He looks to be everything as advertised. And I guess a 1B in that category would be Nyheim Hines.
Yeah.
He has tremendous flexibility, a lot of athleticism. And I'm really excited just to see how creative this offensive staff with Frank Reich and Nick Sirianni, how creative they are in using him both as a running back and as a wide receiver.
Well, the thing, too, that I love about this rookie minicamp is it's the first chance that you get to hear from all of the drafted rookies and even some of the undrafted rookies when they come and face the media for the first time. And I love this. This is what Nyheim Hines had to say about just the advice that he was given about being a rookie in the National Football League.
Just shut up and listen, first off. And even when the vets are here, just wait to be seated. You don't want to piss a vet off by sitting in their seat. So that's basically all I've heard. Just be polite, shut up and listen, don't say anything, and wait to sit.
You said it, that you're excited to see what they're going to do with him on the field, but it seems like he gets it. Like, that kind of will make you laugh a little bit of just shut up and listen. Don't wait to be seated. I think that was my favorite part. The easiest way to make someone's mad is to take their seat.
Right.
So I love it. I'm excited to see what he does on the field because he just right now, first impressions, and he talked about how important first impressions are to him.
Right.
First impressions, you're very impressed with Nyheim Hines.
Yeah, he seems to be the total package, and the light bulb has gone off early for him. You know that scene from Forrest Gump where the drill sergeant's in his face, and he's like, Gump, what's your sole purpose in this army? And he says, to do whatever you tell me to, drill sergeant. Like, that's the perfect answer. Like, that's on par with, I'm just going to come in, shut up, listen, do my job. That's a great answer.
I love, too, what Coach Raffman, he had the chance to meet with the media this week, and he just said right now it's all about footwork. It's all about making sure that their change of direction is where we want it to be, and that this entire group that you're seeing behind him and Wilkins and Turbin and Ferguson, they're all going through these little cone drills, which actually, if you think back to last year when you would see Frank Gore off to the side, this is what he was doing. Frank Gore, a proven back in this league, still doing these drills that Raffman actually worked with him on back in early in his career. So.
Right.
This group, it's going to be exciting to watch and see them develop, to see what that running back by committee looks like. I do get excited when you talk about this group because it is completely different from last year.
Yeah, Coach Raffman worked with Frank Gore. He was a great player in his own right in the NFL. So these guys, these young guys, can learn from Coach because he's backed it up both as a player and as a coach working with a future Hall of Famer and Frank Gore. And it's going to be running back by committee for the Colts next season. But Coach Raffman this week did say that you need at least two. You need at least two workhorse running backs. And it's going to be interesting to see who kind of emerges as those lead dogs, if you will, those top two running backs. Is it Hines, Mac? Is it Mac Turbin? We'll find out later on the summer.
Well, of course, you're going to kind of wait until you see a running back start to separate themselves. And for this week's best of sounds, there's actually already been that kind of happening at rookie minicamp. Hear what Frank Reich had to say about Nyheim Hines, and then, of course, wouldn't be Best of Sound without a little Andrew Luck.
Very evident that he's very intelligent. Besides being a 4.3 speed guy, the other thing, you know, that he flashed yesterday was he makes a catch on a crossing route that's a low ball. It's a little bit behind him. He catches it with ease without breaking stride. You know, he's a running back doing that. That was kind of a little bit of an unusual catch for a guy who, you know, is known as a running back to make with that much ease. So, no, it's been great. I mean, everything's been really, really good. And Andrew's, you know, on the field stuff that we're doing, just footwork stuff and in the classroom stuff. It's great. I mean, he's completely engaged. It's obviously, you know, fun to work with a guy who has his football IQ, where we can go back and forth on the offense and the system. We're putting our system in, and it's a system that we brought here, but getting a lot of feedback from him, little tweaks to it, things that he likes. I really enjoy that side of it. I mean, you know, that might be 5 or 10% of it, tweaking the system or calling it something different that just connects to him better or sounds better. But I really think that's the art of it, right? Just connecting with him in that level. And then, you know, everything from the physical standpoint of what he's doing off the field is going exceedingly well.
Well, we hear your questions all the time about Andrew Luck, and really we're halfway through the offseason workout program, so it is due time for this Andrew Luck update. Everything still seems great, still seems to be right on track of where they want it to be, even so much so that Andrew Luck is starting to be able to tweak the offense as they're starting to get used to
right.
It. That is big, exciting news when you're talking about him coming back and being the leader of this offense, because he's starting to put his mark on it. It's not just Frank Reich's offense or Nick Sirianni's offense. It's all of their offense, and 12's having a big say in that.
Yeah, Nick Sirianni this week said, there's no egos. It's all of our offenses. You know, Andrew Luck's the maestro. He's the one who's the coach on the field, so to speak, within that offense. But, yeah, he's putting his own stamp on what they're trying to accomplish, whether it's a check down at the line of scrimmage or route patterns within the playbook. Andrew Luck is doing what he's most comfortable with, and that's what's really exciting about Frank Reich and Nick Sirianni coming in, that it's sort of a blend of all of their stops together in Philadelphia and San Diego. But with Andrew Luck, they know he can do so much that they're kind of giving him his own little freedoms to do things at the line of scrimmage, and that's what you love, because Andrew Luck is so smart, so good, and he can make up for a lot of things on this roster.
Well, of course, that is all happening while the rookies, like we mentioned, are with the vets for the first time, and they will start those OTA practices next week. We'll get to that later in the show. Maybe when Mete, if you will look out, might be in London when you see that. You'll have to check Colts.com for the full.
I got my Concorde flight.
The full version of that. But now it is time to take your live questions. We already have some rolling in, so this is going to be fun because we actually have football going on and the rookies are here. We're starting to get some more exciting questions about the depth chart and different position groups. So let's go first. Offensive line. Dylan is asking projections at starting line. We actually had one on Twitter asking specifically about the right tackle. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts so far on offensive line?
Yeah, I think Austin Howard, who the Colts signed a week ago today, can actually come in and start. And that's what I've been saying this entire time. Let's say, for instance, a guy like Slauson or Jack Muhort is a backup and Joe Haig is a backup at right tackle. Bottom line, if those guys are your backups, your offensive line got a lot better. And I think Austin Howard, although he might not be a long-term answer along this offensive line, he can help in the intermediate time, so to speak, whether it be a year or it's a one-year deal coming in for next season, whether he gets signed for another year, doesn't matter. I think next year he can be a starter. He's 31 years old, and yeah, Andrew Luck could be playing behind, dare I say, the best offensive line he's had since coming into the NFL or, you know, joining the Colts in 2012 with Nelson on the left side, Costanzo over there, and Ryan Kelly, all those guys, number one draft picks. That's a unit that I think can be a strength for next season.
And that's one thing that Nick Sirianni said when he spoke to the media of, there are a lot of teams around the league that would love to have what the Colts could have this upcoming season. And that's three first round caliber players on the offensive line that it's been overshadowed that you've had two of them, but now you're going to have three of them potentially working together. And then you add in the other talent and depth that the Colts are going to have. I think that's a big big piece of it. Yes, starters are important, but having that depth to be able to slide guys in, that's not something the Colts have been able to have, say that they have these past couple years.
Well, what is Frank Reich and Chris Ballard, what have they always said? You need 8 to 9 or 10 starters. So if you have the starters that we just talked about, plus Slauson, been a starter, Jack Muhort, been a starter, Joe Haig, been a starter, Denzel Good has been a spot starter at times in his career. So all of those guys have starting experience, and the Colts have a ton of depth potentially along their offensive line, which makes that unit a really, really strong core going forward.
Yeah, no doubt for sure. We have questions coming in from Alicia, Charles, and Tony, all asking about the linebacker position. We'll go with Alicia first. Where's our linebackers at? I hope that's how you meant it.
Well,
where's our linebackers at?
They're there. We just don't know. We just don't know yet the depth at linebacker. We feel pretty good about Darius Leonard being able to come in and play the Will linebacker spot. For those that don't know, that's the outside linebacker.
Right.
And that you have to be very versatile. You have to have a lot of speed, athleticism to play that spot. And Darius Leonard checks all the boxes. Plus, he has the intangibles of being a leader, a vocal guy. Really, I'm looking forward to how the middle linebacker races kind of determine themselves with Antonio Morrison coming back from last year. He's a holdover, but again, how does he transition to a 4-3 defense when you're going to be asked to cover a little bit more? We know that's not his bread and butter. Anthony Walker, is he going to be the backup to Darius Leonard, or is he more of an inside guy? So there's a ton of potential there. We just don't have anybody that you would really write in as Sharpie as this guy's going to be out there week one of the regular season. Najee Good is another example. The Colts brought him over in free agency from the Philadelphia Eagles, I think in April. So, so many things to watch at those spots as we go forward.
Yeah, Charles is asking a Sky Moore update. That's also a name in this linebacker conversation. He's an undrafted guy out of South Carolina. I'm not a homer here, but he's good.
He's good.
He's a guy that was actually a surprise that he didn't get drafted.
Right.
He's here. He was one of the rookies that spoke to the media during rookie minicamp that wasn't drafted. And he came in and was like, this is a good fit for me. I had other options to go work with other teams, but I felt like this with just the linebacker position with the Colts, how it's used, the depth there, that there is no number one starter, that he felt like he could come in and compete. And if you go look at his stats from college, he was put in a system where he was really able to fly around and make a difference, and he's fast. And that's what you hear from Eberflus. That's what you hear from the linebackers coach, that they want speed. They want someone that can fly around and disrupt that middle of the field. So it is wide open. I understand your question, where are linebackers at?
Yeah.
They're out there. There's just a lot of them competing for a few spots.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost, in some cases, it's almost, not every case financially and other things, but in some cases, it's almost better to be an undrafted free agent, because then you get to decide where you go. What's the best fit for me? And coming in here for a guy like Sky Moore, he sees there's a great chance for me to start, contribute, maybe certainly play special teams. So in that regard, it's a home run for him. And by all accounts, he had a pretty good rookie mini camp. I know Frank Reich was kind of chirping at him and was very complimentary last week on the field. So, yeah, he's definitely a guy to circle and keep your eye on as we go towards training camp. He's certainly going to be around.
Yeah, definitely. All right, Jeff is asking, will T.Y. still be the number one receiver with Kane? Yes, Jeff. Yes. T.Y. Hilton is the number one receiver.
There's not many certainties going into next season.
We don't even know what Kane can do. Stop it.
Yeah,
yes.
There's not much that we do know going into next year, because there's so many new players. But that's,
I love that
that's
was your
one.
Reaction. That was very genuine. We didn't set that up. Jeff, he didn't get to screen your question before you sent it in, but
it's
we do love the questions. Yes, T.Y. Hilton is the number one receiver. Let's be serious. But Kane, he will be impressive. We'll see what he can do. All right, Dean. Chances the Colts win the division this year? Hello.
Wow. I mean, the Jaguars are the team to beat. We had that impromptu film session with Chris Ballard a few weeks back, and he said the Jaguars were the best team that the Colts played last year. And about a handful of minutes into that first game at Lucas Oil Stadium, Chris Ballard kind of said to himself, this isn't good.
Yeah.
You know, we just don't match up at a lot of places. And he's talked candidly about that openly this offseason. So that's why when we did our schedule show, Caroline, a few weeks ago, I said, when you got to play the Jaguars two times in a month, plus another division game mixed in there with the Titans, that's the toughest stretch of the season for me, because the Jaguars not only, I think, are the front runners in the AFC South, they might be one of the top two teams in the AFC behind, you know, arguably the Steelers or the Patriots. So until the Colts can knock them off, they are, I think, the Jaguars are the team to beat and the favorite to repeat as division champs.
Yeah, I'm with you. The thing I actually love about from when I started working for the Colts until now, so it's only been 2 years, is that in 2016, I don't think anyone was saying the Jaguars are the team to beat. No one was saying that when I got here, but now we're saying that with absolute certainty that they're the team to beat. But then you look at the Houston Texans, they're getting their quarterback, their quarterback back. They're getting their defensive players back. Tennessee Titans always seem to be right there to really taking over the division. So it is hard to say if the Colts are going to win this division. I think there are some teams that are a little bit ahead as far as there was a plan in place that these teams wanted to, you know, we want to get this guy, we want to put this piece in, we want to put the puzzle together. I think the Colts might be a year behind that as far as putting the entire puzzle piece together to have the complete team that they want that gets back on top. But I'm excited because there's a lot of quarterbacks in this division. They're going to be fun, probably high-scoring games. And you just don't know what the Colts can do yet when they're in facing this division with new schemes, completely new roster. There's a lot of questions. So that's a great question, Dean. I know we're going to be talking about that one for a long time. So thanks for springing that on us in May.
I mean, the AFC South might be the most competitive division, the most fun division to watch for next season. And like you said, in just a short amount of time, man, that has really drastically changed because not too long ago, I mean, all the national pundits were poo-pooing.
Yeah, I mean, when AFC I started here in 2016, it was not that the AFC South was the most exciting division to watch.
I mean, by any stretch the Colts of won, in not too long ago, the Colts won 16 straight AFC South games in their last 18 division games. The Colts are 9-9. So that tells you, there's a lot that goes into there. Those other teams are drafting well. They've been drafting the top five, but they've gotten better. Andrew Luck's injury has factored into that. But yeah, I mean, bottom line, no longer are the Colts, the bee's knees in the AFC South. They've got some work to do.
Sometimes you're funny. The bee's knees. All right. A lot of questions, of course, about Des Bryant. Will he come to the Colts? Do we think he should come to the Colts? Where is he going to go? The most recent update on Des Bryant is that he could possibly land with the Green Bay Packers. A new NFL analyst from the Cowboys, Witten, was actually the one that kind of broke that and said that would be a good landing spot for him. And then there's been talks that he could go there. I don't see it happening. Maybe a super late signing. I just don't see it happening. I think when you hear Frank Reich, Nick Sirianni, Chris Ballard talk about this offense, it's not just about the wide receivers. So I just don't see the Colts going out and spending the price tag that Des Bryant should pull in when they have the tight ends that they want, when they have the running backs that they want, the wide receivers that they want. I mean, someone just asked if Kane was going to be the number one wide receiver over T.Y. Hilton. Like, we have some faith here in our wide receivers. So I'm going to go with it new.
Yeah, I mean, Des Bryant could – I mean, he's going to want money. And I just think we're past the part of the offseason, we're past the free agency time where big money is being given out. So, plus, is Des Bryant still? I mean, is he any good? I mean,
that is the question. I mean, that's why he's not on a roster.
Listen, he's still, though. I mean, obviously he's still a great receiver. He's not what he once was. He hasn't had a 1,000-yard receiving season in 3 years. So you're going to have to pare down your expectations. Yeah. But I mean, bottom line, Des Bryant is not the player that he used to be. He's not Des Bryant anymore.
Yeah. All right. Let's go with this question about Malik Hooker, because Malik put a video out just yesterday, I do believe, of him on the field in cleats, doing some cuts, doing some, you know, running, back seeing him with that knee. The question is, will he be a week one starter?
You know what? I hope that he is. I mean, that would be fantastic if he's out there. I'm taking on the realistic hat and saying he got injured. He tore his ACL in October. Mm-hmm. And I mean, nowadays I understand that players are just remarkable. They're incredible athletes. They're coming back from these colossal injuries a lot quicker than they used to. But to fast forward that 9 or 10 months, I think is asking a lot, even for a guy who's as great as Malik Hooker. So I'm going to say he's not going to be out there week one. But if he is, that's great. I mean, the Colts, I mean, he had 3 interceptions last year in a 3-game stretch. He only played in 7 games last year. I think he can be an absolute star in the NFL. But I think having him out there against Cincinnati that first weekend is going to be asking a lot.
Yeah, because really, I believe, I'm not a doctor, I've never had this surgery, but I think it's about an 8 to 9 month full recovery.
I tore my ACL when I was in 7th grade, and it took me about 14 months to be out there where I felt decently comfortable. Now, obviously, that's me and he's him. right?
But I was going to let it go. I was totally going to go with it, Maytay, that you guys are the same. I was going to go with it.
But you understand my point. I mean, that's a major injury, and just for him to be doing what he's doing already right now is a major milestone.
Yeah, I believe it is. They kind of say it's that 8 to 9 month window to when you should start getting back. Well, that's July. Nine months would be in July when training camp is. It would be a lot if he's on Maytay's window. He's not going out there, but he could be. He's on the field. You just really don't know exactly where he is.
Right.
But we will get an update from that. I think training camp is when we get that, though. I mean, training camp is when you put the pads on. It starts getting to be real football. There's a difference between running around on the field in your cleats and a shorts and a t-shirt to being a safety and taking hits and making cuts that you're not expecting. Because when you're doing drills like that, you know you're cutting to the left. You know you're cutting to the right. Free safeties, they don't know which way they're going until they read the quarterback and read the ball. So it is completely up in the air. I think it's doable, but I also know the Colts, they've been very realistic with every injury that they're not going to push a timeline. They're not going to, you know, really send, especially a guy that's in his second year. You go send him out there, he gets hurt at the beginning of the season.
Right.
He doesn't quite feel right. I think they'll be patient enough, and especially because of who played last year, that secondary did pretty well toward the end of the season when they started to really start to gel. So I just don't think there is or should be that big of a push to make sure we have to have him out there for week one.
Yeah, you nailed it right there. I mean, I think that's the biggest point, that Malik Hooker, this is right on par with Andrew Luck. They're not going to do anything to push him and do anything to jeopardize him coming back full go when that time comes. I mean, Malik Hooker, just like Andrew Luck, he's going to be a star. He's an important piece for this team going forward. The Colts don't have a lot of superstars on defense. They're trying to change that, but Malik Hooker can be an absolute game changer, and you want him full go when he's out there. You don't want to do anything to compromise his availability.
Yeah, 100%. Well, guys, we appreciate you always sending in your questions and keeping this conversation fun. We will be back next week for another Horseshoe FAQ. Thank you so much. I'm Caroline King. He's Matt Taylor. We might match next week. I don't know. We'll see you guys.